Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
We read in Forbes magazine this week about a strange new phrase entering the work lexicon. It's called soft quitting. It's replacing quiet quitting, which we learned a lot about last year. So I wanted to find out a little bit more about what that is. And I'm happy to say that I'm joined now in studio by Damien McCarthy of the HR Buddy to try and make some sense of it all. Good morning, Damien. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Mandy. My pleasure.
Damien, I actually just heard this phrase last week. When did you hear it? You're somebody who's active in the world.
Only just about a week or so ago. There's a lot of interest in this kind of workplace buzz term, and a lot of the British and Irish papers have picked it up. I suppose that Forbes article by Dr. Diane Hamilton has really brought it to light as well. And I suppose soft quitting is kind of is taking it on again from quiet quitting.
Just tell us the difference between quiet quitting, because just remind us what quiet quitting was and how that compares to soft quitting.
Yeah, well, actually, like, there has been an awful lot of workplace buzz terms over the last few years.
Hashtagable, I think
hashtagable,
you call them.
Yeah, exactly. And anything hashtagable works. And I think they're great because they spark conversation and debate. Some of them fall by the wayside a little bit. They're not that interesting. But quiet quitting was huge. It came post-pandemic. Maybe it was a reaction to, you know, going back to work and the hustle and the bustle and that kind of thing in the workplace after the pandemic. But it sparked great debate and great interest. And it seems that now soft quitting has taken it a step further again. And there is actually a big difference between soft quitting and quiet quitting, although a lot of people may confuse the two or morph them together. I suppose quiet quitting is doing the bare minimum. It's where a worker, an individual, chooses to do the bare minimum inside in the workplace. Mm. Okay, they don't go above and beyond. I suppose the quality stays, but the quantity suffers. Now, soft quitting is a much deeper thing. It's about emotionally disengaging with your job. And I suppose there can be a number of factors that you could blame for this.
Sorry, before you go on to that, what happens productivity in soft quitting?
Productivity doesn't necessarily suffer in soft quitting, but it's the quality. The quality suffers. It's really about the disengagement. And I suppose the term has been coined as well, you know, the great disengagement. In particular, a lot of research from the likes of Gallup have showed that there is a heightened disengagement in the workplace. And I suppose we must ask ourselves and have the debate. And that's why I like these kind of phrases. Some people don't, and they dismiss them and they say, you know, it's not a new thing. And it isn't a new thing or a new behaviour. It always existed. People always soft quit. We just didn't have the phrase. But I think when it's put into that term, it's easier for us to discuss it, to open the debate, and everyone can have an opinion on it.
Yeah, you've actually just converted me, because I have to tell you, when I saw soft quitting, I did the most Olympic eye roll and I was like, oh no, not another one. So this is just, you're bored with your job. Yeah. This has been there since time immemorial. But when you explain it like that, that actually, it actually starts a conversation about something that might be happening, I absolutely accept that it might be a positive development. And just go back to that practice of quiet quitting and this hashtagable thing and the nature of that. That was like also something that blew up on TikTok, which we've been talking a lot about on the programme, stemming from, I think, China it was, really.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing about the workplace buzz terms, you know, the hashtagable ones that, you know, TikTok mainly drove them, I suppose. There can be a very thin line between it being a positive thing and being a very damaging thing. So if you take quiet quitting and soft quitting, for example, it can cross over the line, I think, on social media where it's been pushed as a positive thing. So, like, let's just go to soft quitting.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about emotional health of individuals in the workplace. If someone soft quits in their job, there's possible burnout issues. It might not actually just be work related. It may be from their, you know, their whole life experience. It may be from, you know, care needs at home and you know, the busy life. I suppose Dr. Diane Hamilton likened it to the old Chinese practice of Tang Ping, which is where you an individual quits, you know, the busy lifestyle, the hustle and bustle, the rat race, and chooses a more minimalistic, kind of simple lifestyle. Mm. I think that's a good analogy for soft quitting. Soft quitting, I think, is almost a cry for help. It might not even necessarily be to do with the workplace and their job. It might be someone coming to work burnt out, burnt out from life, we must ask ourselves questions like, you know, is this a post-COVID behavioural human reaction?
So this is more about emotional health, about mental health, about psychological health, the more rounded issues that people might feel.
Yeah.
What can you do if you have, firstly, how can you identify this in somebody who might be working for you? What are you looking out for?
Okay, well, it's harder to identify. Okay, it's easier.
Because productivity may not have slipped.
Yeah. It's, but yeah,
KPIs,
so
eyes might be reached. Yeah.
Yeah, it can take longer to identify it. It may be disdiagnosed or misdiagnosed, I should say, as quite quitting, I think, an awful lot of the time. It's much deeper and it may take longer to resolve. OK, and it may also be harder to prevent because a lot of the causes of it may be external. OK, it's about good people management. It's about communication. It's about being able to identify it. It takes good people management and it takes conversations and time, I think, to resolve it. Whereas something like quiet quitting can be resolved if you want to be hard-lined on it quite easily.
Mm.
You just raise up, you know, the work volumes and give more workloads.
Yeah, you're doing the bare minimum. I've spotted it.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about that?
Yeah, so you can raise the bare minimum, if you like, and tip it back in your favour if you just want to go about it that way.
The other's more insidious, isn't it? It's kind of behind layers of things.
It is, and of course it can become a toxic disease because if you have a soft quitter working alongside you in your organisation, it will become frustrating. It can spread throughout your organisation. You get more quiet quitters and more soft quitters. So it does need to be identified. But it's not something that can be resolved overnight.
Damien, you mentioned COVID there, you know, and that's been the big workplace, I suppose, change thing. But the more you're talking about this now, to me, on the one side, in relation to the people who are working, employees, it's about the effort they're putting in when you're talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
But is there an issue about boundaries? Did something happen us in COVID where we're like, actually, there's a boundary of work in my life? And is that something to do with this?
Well, yes, I think so. I think, you know, it's no coincidence that there is this interest and development of the terms quiet quitting and soft quitting post-pandemic. I think what happened during the pandemic is, outside, of course, of, you know, your workers who were on the front line, you know, those heroes who were out there during COVID, an awful lot or the majority of people working got a break. It was a quieter lifestyle outside of work. It was quieter work. There was a switch to remote, hybrid working, online working, less A to B and travelling around in traffic and pressure and stress. And I think an awful lot of people enjoyed that. And when, I suppose, the hustle and bustle returned very quickly post-COVID, there's a negative human reaction to that. And that starts to manifest itself then inside in the workplace. So if you are someone who is exhausted and is tired, okay, you will spend one third of your working week at work. Okay? You take 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of rest, play with your family, and 8 hours at work. It's a big part of your life. So where do you get your, I suppose, energy back? It's a kind of a security mechanism maybe to go to work and say, I'm withdrawing a little bit here. I'm not going to burn myself out any further. But of course, it's a vicious cycle.
It is. And look, the other side of the argument is coming in from a texter here. Mandy, I have to say that these concepts are dangerous as it's making the doing damn all in work acceptable. We're telling people it's okay to be bad at your job. That's from Karen. What would you say to that?
I absolutely fully agree with Karen. But the unfortunate thing is that these terms are out there nowadays. So what I think is important is that we can discuss them maturely to get a positive resolution and actually resolve these inside an organisations and help people understand them. And I go back to my point on, you know, the very thin line that you can cross over in social media where you start pushing these things out as a positive thing to do. Because, of course, lazy people in the workplace still love these terms. You know, if you want to be lazy, you can soft quit. It's become acceptable now.
Yeah, I'm even afraid to kind of promote the term myself.
Yeah. And I would be very cautious on that as well. I think it's very important that we remain responsible in the debate on this, but we must still have the conversation and debate around, you know, is there a lack of connectivity that's leading to people withdrawing and work and disengaging? Can we do remote working better? Is that what the problem is? Is it a reaction to the pandemic? Are we managing people correctly? Is there the same types of communication, old-fashioned communication, good communication that we had pre-pandemic? Is it that we're not doing that well anymore and that's why people are disengaging in the workplace? Or is it a wider society issue that is going to impact upon the workplace and we should admit it and talk about it and try and have positive remedies to identify it and work positively with it in workplace?
Absolutely. Well, we might could scoff at these terms sometimes. It is definitely worth acknowledging that these type of problems might exist and more importantly, having a conversation about them. But Damien, I really do appreciate you coming in to studio today to tell us all about that. That was Damien McCarthy of HR Buddy.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.